Welcome to the 4 Mini Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 31st of January, recording at 9:32 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. And rather frustratingly, this is the second time I've recorded this email because rather stupidly, I had the wrong headset on. I did that once before, and you could barely hear me. So, a re-record, and on with the action here in this interesting day with a certain amount of rock and roll, although this time the rocks were deflected, at least by Wall Street. So what happened? The Asian markets were a bit mixed. Hang Seng down a couple of hundred points. The interesting ones, Thailand had a good gain in here today. The Japanese Nikkei, or the whole Japanese market, but the Nikkei closed up 1.85%, having had a weak opening after that Wall Street close yesterday. And I think those were the bullish highlights. Oh, Australia, which had been very weak in the earlier action and closed with a modest gain. That was an impressive rebound. The bearish news, which has concerned me, is China. I have talked about the China leash effect previously, saying that this was going to be a growing influence generally. And it had been mostly positive, but it's decidedly negative in here right now. Now, perhaps that owes something to the big freeze taking place in China right now. Certainly this is casting a bit of a shadow over the Asian region generally. Now, elsewhere though, we have seen the Wall Street leash effect going from being dramatically negative during the first half of this month and a bit more to turning a little bit more positive here recently. But it's nervy stuff because Wall Street opened a week and promptly fell nearly 200 points. And I was talking to Owen at the time, and he said rather presciently, "I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up by this much today." Well, that's exactly what happened. The Dow closed up 207 points. That's 1.67%. We had a similar gain in the S&P in percentage terms. And the NASDAQ Composite Index closed actually with a slightly better gain. It had been lagging previously during the rally. It was up 1.74%. And that rally, most of it occurred after Europe's close, but it was Wall Street was cutting back on its decline, really, for the last hour or two, at least, of Europe's tradings, and so European markets paired their declines. Okay, long-dated government bonds were quite strong in here today. The dollar was fractionally steadier today, and with the dollar index at 75.18, after that's up 150 ticks following yesterday's big hit. And precious metals were mostly strong, led by platinum, which absolutely surged, up $50. And so I'm going to have to cough, a scratchy voice on the second audio. I sang like an angel during the first one, but you probably won't believe that, and rightly so. Precious metals, silver was also pretty strong in here, pushed up over $17. before backing off, currently 5 cents below that. And gold's down a couple of dollars, $2.50, but up on the futures contracts. Grains and beans quiet. Oil down about a dollar. Cocoa and coffee romping yet again. Why didn't I buy those? We pointed out the trends and the strength and so on in the performance on enough occasions. Oh well. Now, what to make of all this? You know, I described the climactic selling that we saw early last week, and that should produce at least a decent technical rally. Well, we are seeing that for most markets, and climactic activity of that type has often marked important lows. Veteran subscribers have certainly seen that on enough occasions, and you saw it back last August when Owen pointed it out while I was cycling around the countryside. And so it could be quite important. Is this the big one in terms of the big low? Well, most people don't think so. That's because markets have been very weak and sentiment is pretty bearish, but that's a contrary indicator, as you know. But we could argue about this all day in terms of what might happen, but there's a template for this type of situation, which I've mentioned almost daily, but I'll repeat it again here quite briefly. Following climactic selling, we expect a good bounce, mostly fueled by short covering. And when that short covering is mostly out of the way, or what is going to occur, or most of the short covering has already occurred, then we can expect a reaction. And if we have seen a really important low, then we expect demand to come in the form of buyers, net long buyers, who overwhelm the shorts, causing support near or preferably above the previous reaction lows. Now, we haven't seen that pullback, although interestingly, we've seen some downside stabs by these Western markets in the nervous conditions, but they haven't persisted. So we just get these one-day hits, and then the market rallies, steadies, and often extends the rally. But I would a lot of people say, well, everything's so bearish in terms of the whole financial sector outlook. But, you know, the more disclosures we get, the more that's already out of the way, and the more it's been digested by the market. So I wouldn't want to be too bearish in here overall, although I have certainly emphasized that quite a lot of technical damage had occurred. So many stock markets dropped down out of those ranging patterns, taking out their August lows and then extending those declines. So really, to repair that damage, it takes more than a technical rally, which is all we've seen today to date. They have to push well back up into those previous patterns and establishing short-term upward trends, again with some higher reaction lows, as I was mentioning a moment ago. So that hasn't occurred yet, but again, I would not want to bet heavily against that actually taking place. Meanwhile, the most bearish commentary, you can be sure, is coming from the firms who have the heavy shorts. And that's logical, isn't it? Okay. Now, interesting developments in these stock markets. The mining shares, well, Xstrata is up near its highs, but that, of course, has the bid interest from Brazil's Vale. But I've noticed here today that BHP and Rio, it's by no means certain that BHP's takeover interest in Rio is over, but they have pushed right back up underneath those trading range top areas that preceded this downward break, and they're looking very firm in that action, as is the Merrill Lynch World Mining Trust, not surprisingly. So if we get further upside follow through tomorrow and next week. And well, that will be making heavy inroads into that potential overhanging resistance area. And that would be impressive action. You know my view. These shares are cheap, and it's a secular bull market for them, but they're going to be very volatile, and one needs to take advantage of those sharp sell-offs, such as we saw in the middle of last week, to accumulate. I'm glad I did so. Now, government bonds, very steady in here today, which is interesting, and particularly in the U.S., given the strength of Wall Street's rebound. And now I have opened initial short positions in these long-dated government bonds. I'm not going to be too aggressive in here because they are arguably still in overall upward trends. But my hunch is that just as we saw a selling climax in stock markets at the first half of last week, that we have seen a buying climax in the long-dated government bonds. And my contention all along is that when confidence returned to stock markets, that we would definitely see the bonds weaken. Now, moving on, the U.S. dollar quiet today, as I mentioned, but interest rates are so clearly against the dollar at this stage that the best I can see for the dollar is ranging activity, but it has, and I've said this for a while now, and also a retest of its low, and that appears to be very much on the cards. That is supportive of precious metals, but I am inundated with reports. They're popping up everywhere, and right, if I'm not receiving them from subscribers, I'm spotting them in the press myself, all telling us what a wonderful story this is. Well, I'm a believer in gold, have been since aggressively bullish since 2001. But the nature of these precious metals is that they get long, boring ranging phases, and everyone loses interest, becomes despondent. And these will last for, a year and a half, sometimes 2 years. And then another big recovery begins. The recoveries last nowhere near so long as the long, boring, ranging phases, but they'll last for several months. And they're led by platinum, and they go into an acceleration phase. Well, this is exactly what's been happening here recently. I don't think it's over. I don't see any evidence that it's over. But this medium-term rally is in a fairly mature stage. And sentiment, I regard, as a contrary indicator. The numbers have become much bigger as well. You know, people are giving these, you know, all these forecasts are somewhere in the above 1,000 and some of them above $2,000. Dollars for bullion. Well, I suspect it'll get there eventually, but I don't expect the latter level, 2,000 and other, above, in other words. I certainly don't expect that this year, and I would be a little bit careful. This is trailing stop territory. I don't think the people who hold the gold bullion funds need be overly concerned about this yet, but one wants to be careful with leveraged trades. Now, what would cause gold to come down? Well, it's a global beauty contest, as Owen and I are fond of saying, and recently there wasn't much in terms of rivalry. We had the agricultural commodities and we had the precious metals. And the people who were buying those were not going to be buying the bonds, which were also performing, and vice versa. Well, for the most part, that is a generalization, obviously. But my point is that in the global beauty contest, if confidence returns, or as confidence returns to stock markets, that will pull some interest away from gold. Some of this buying in gold has been just because of concerns over meltdowns elsewhere. So again, I say we're in a mature phase of this run in the precious metals, just as we are with the grains and beans, which I maintain have boiled over and are very susceptible to a medium-term consolidation correction. And those can last anything from a few weeks to a couple of years. So again, I would be careful. That's another very very crowded trade. Then we have the industrial metals popping up, though. They could come back to rival the interest that's in precious metals. There are a lot of bears in the industrial metal sector. Yet China's problems with the weather have shown how any event which threatens production, in this case it's China's production that's been threatened, that can lead to a surge of interest in these commodities for which demand remains high. And I again repeat the important point, they remain in secular bull markets overall. Zinc had the best gains in here today, I believe, and so that pattern is looking more and more like base development. And anything else to cover here? We're still in a corrective phase for crude oil following that steepening uptrend, so a mild acceleration that took place to carrying it up to $100. And I think we'll see a bit more consolidation in that oil market, but it too remains in a global bull trend. Did I mention that the Japanese politicians are talking about targeting the stock market? That would make two governments that are targeting the stock market, the U.S. and Japan. I was about to say the world's two biggest stock markets. China's just pipped Japan recently, I think. But Japan looks like a particularly interesting recovery case candidate. It was supposed to be that last year and greatly disappointed, although it wasn't a recovery case last year. It was quite firm in the early part of the year, and then it all unraveled dramatically. Now we've seen downward acceleration back to support levels, valuations improving. Looks quite interesting. Well, enough on this. I want to post this for those who are off to bed before 10 o'clock. So, can't wait to see what happens tomorrow. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.